Chapter 59. Darrow. Athena. I wake in a cold room with the sour chemical taste in my mouth and a headache. Machines rumble through the walls. I swim in nausea as I sit up. The air is heavy with the flavor of rust. Huge chains clink. They are light in the low gravity, but they are thick as my wrists and anchor me to the floor. I feel for Bad Lass. It's gone. So is Pax's key. The fog in my head is in no hurry to clear, and I remember what happened.
You talk in your sleep.
I'm not alone in the room. A woman sits on the floor, her back against the wall. Her hair is dark red and pools on her shoulders in heavy braids woven with silver filament. A curved black haster leans beside her. She reads from my copy of The Path to the Vale. Both of her hands are artificial and seven-fingered. I rub my temples. Where is Sevra?
Aren't you curious what you said in your sleep?
Sevra.
Safe. He will never be harmed here. We owe that much to his father. You and the Ra, on the other hand, may not be so lucky, to say nothing of the obsidian.
And Lyria?
The Red who tried to shoot Chian? She's with Ore now. She won't be harmed. She's done us no crime. But I am surprised a Red who is a victim of your assimilation camps would be so protective of the Reaper.
She glances up with a frown. You look surprised as well.
She is not a tall woman, but she is dense. A Red ultra-heavy, like Chian.
Her nose is Roman in its architecture and crooked. Her skin is a dark black. Her eyes are garnet red, large, wide-set and narrow. She seems in her late 40s. Her sleeves are rolled up, and her forearms, like her neck and face, are covered with white tattoos. Names.
Guess I should ask, are the ships real, or were they just bait?
They are real, if the obsidians have not found them or destroyed them. As for bait, no, they could not be bait because there was no trap. Ori was sent only for Barca. But when she called from Sungrave, well, I knew this was something I could not run from any longer. She sighs, then waves the book a little.
I didn't bring it with me. They have the Archimedes. And Cassius?
Life is easy to imagine as a path. But it is moments like this when you think of it as a particle accelerator. You, the daughters, your two high-energy beams traveling close to the speed of light before finally colliding. That collision will lay bare the essential building blocks of your nature and ours. I did not want this collision.
Not with you. Not now.
Why not?
I pulled us from the brink of hatred. I pulled myself from the debris you made of my life. Now, the stir your presence has caused, the hatred it has awoken.
Well, the daughters demand justice, and I am but their will.
It needn't be a collision, I try.
She smiles.
Is that why you did not struggle in the submarine?
I did not struggle because I smelt rust on the breeze. I believed, still believe, that I am amongst friends.
What do you mean?
In response, I quote the full fourth understanding. The supreme good is the wind in the deep mines. It flows through rock, around people, and over land. The wind is oblivious to these obstacles, though her path would not be the same in their absence. When you smell rust on the breeze, hear the echo of tools in the darkness, smile and be glad. The path is upon you, and you upon it. All you must do is walk.
She closes the book. Her eyes remind me of dances, except, unlike his, they hold no love for me.
Ori told me you understood the book.
I was skeptical.
And now?
Still skeptical, but admittedly impressed by your ability to memorize.
Can you afford to be skeptical? Mars is under siege. Obsidians are at your door. We're both Reds. We do not have time to be at each other's throats like this.
Red? Me?
She watches me, then says, I suppose I came from a mine, like you. Ours floated over Jupiter. I was sorted as a girl. Since I was not chosen to be a breeder, my breasts were cauterized shortly after puberty. I was selected to be a gas fly, to gather helium from Jupiter on Erlon wings. Red? I have never been red, nor grey, nor gold. I am a human being. You may look at me with the eyes of the masters, but you will not sort me according to their inhuman labels. I'm beginning to think maybe I should not have come here. I peer around the chamber. It is familiar, similar to that of the room the Praetorians beat me in before Trigg and Holiday saved me from Adrius in Attica. The only difference is the vents in the ceiling instead of drains in the floor.
Is this where you will kill me?
No, but this place is significant.
This is one of the rooms where the Cryptea murdered the sons of Ares you betrayed to Romulus. Fortunately for you, we are not like the Cryptea. We do not hide our violence in the shadows. You will be tried. You will have the chance to defend yourself, as will the Ra.
And when I am found guilty?
If you are found guilty, you will be executed.
She hefts the hasta, leaning against the wall. It is huge in her hands, and longer than she is tall. Black, it is veined with iridescence.
I recognize the metal.
She turns it close enough to me that I can read the text etched into the side of the blade. It is the Forbidden Song.
This blade was made by our greatest artificer, Oscanda. She named it Pyrphoros, Firebearer. Your hands were meant to wield it as you led us to freedom. You will not die by rope or gas, Darrow of Mars. If you are found guilty, this will be your end.
Do you really think Sevra will help you if you kill me? I ask.
No, but I fear much has changed since I sent Ori to find him. We can no longer spend our ships in your war. They are needed here to seize power once Fa has left.
I almost laugh.
You think they'll just leave? They are raiders, the Ascomani. We will outlast them down here. Once they have purged the Goulds, we will step into the void. Perhaps then the Rim will finally know just a rule.
Not that this concerns you.
The Republic needs no.
She stands.
Do not hide behind Mars's plight. You are not a god, Darrow. You cannot wave your hand and hurl down the enemy. Mars is doomed. The Republic has lost. This does not please me. But I think you deserve this reckoning.
She fishes a holocube from her pocket.
The men and women who risked their lives for you, who died for you, they had no funerals, no public trial, no public execution. They simply disappeared. Disappeared. Cast off from every register, every record. Made like they never existed in the first place.
I know there is nothing I can say, so I say nothing.
I nod at the white tattoos on her forearms.
She rubs her thumb over the names there. Proof these people existed. Proof I carry with me everywhere.
She is haughty, performative in her grief. Yet I can see why Fitchner chose her to helm the daughters. There is calm, charisma, and power in her, a certitude wrought from hardship.
These poor souls believed in Ares. They all believed in Io. They all believed in you.
I believed in you, she says.
The hope I felt when you led us to victory against Fabii.
She laughs at herself.
Well, I forgot helldivers are used to plunging headlong into the dark, outracing the debris they leave behind. She tosses the holocube to me.
We are your debris, Darrow. And we matter.
You're so good at memorizing. Learn the names of those you betrayed.
She heads for the door, then stops and pulls out my neck chain and packs his key.
What is this? She asks. It's from my son. He made me a bike.
She tosses it back to me, then slams the door. In her absence, I rage at her intransigence, at Ori's betrayal, at this consummate inanity of my own people killing me. I should have struggled when I saw Chion's tale, moments before Lyria shattered a warning. I should have ripped my seat from the bolts that fastened it to the deck. I had even chosen that seat because I noticed that rust had corroded the metal. I should have put on the twilight helm, killed them all, and stormed the deep, taken Athena prisoner and had her march me to the ship she stole from the Ra. I should have left these fools to die and gone home to save my planet.
The rage passes. In its wake, I'm left sick to my stomach. I pick up Pax's key and put the chain around my neck. Then I pick up the cube Athena left behind. Turning it over and over in my hands, I feel it gaining weight. The mass of guilt has weighed down on my soul for so long that holding it, facing it, is harder than charging through any breach. I activate the cube. Holograms emerge. 1,000 little horrors grow and infest my cell. They are the interrogations and executions of the sons of Ares I betrayed. All the things I've run from for so many years. But it was not the moments of brutality recorded in the cube that would make me rove the rooms and halls Virginia and I shared whenever I made it home. Not really. I could handle the violence, the death. It was the lives I'd cut short that would make me insane with guilt. It's the unimaginable complexity and love and hope in those lives that I could never understand, never witness, that made me feel as if I had invited an abyss between Virginia and me as we laid in bed. A writhing, black, stinking hole that would always stand between me and my son. I gave over low colors like me, like Io, to Romulus.
Why?
Because I was afraid I could not win if I didn't. So many died for me so I could lay by my wife, cradle my son, win my war, have my peace. I watched the executions with dry, sober eyes. Not one of the reds, oranges, browns, or pinks executed had my training or my teachers or a Mickey to make them into a god of war. Yet not one of them begged or recanted. Some died quiet. Some screamed. But most shouted a name. I thought it would be Ares' name that they shouted before death. Or Io's name. But no. It was mine.